Welcome to the DreamStation.cc video game show. This is show number 66 for Sunday, August 6th, 2006.
Hello, it's Sunday, August 6th, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I am your host, Chris. This would be show number 66. Check out our website, DreamStation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcast feeds, and our downloadable show archive. If you'd like to contact us, there are two ways to do such things. Videogameshow@DreamStation.cc is the email, or you could give us a call at
206-984-GAME.
That's 206-984-4263.
Please feel free to contact us at that number.
Contact us!
Hey, talk like Roberto Montalban?
Roberto?
Can't remember his name.
Ricardo!
What kind of Star Trek fan am I?
With us today we have Tom.
Look for the dedicated Counter-Strike server coming this week. The official podcast Counter-Strike server.
We have Keith in addition to Tom.
Yes, I just want to say that it pleases my dark soul to no end to know that you all find my pain and suffering such amusement. Everyone was mocking the fact that you crushed my Factor crap last week.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And they just loved it.
Keith, you bought a 360 this week, huh?
Yes, I did.
Did you want to give your gamer tag out, or do you want to stay hidden?
Allow me to debate that such a topic.
This week's poll topic. Should Keith give out his gamer tag?
He's done it in the past, so...
Yeah, go back and listen to it. If you can find it, then you can contact me.
What's sad is someone is going to go through all the old shows and post it on the forums.
Work for it!
We have Bob on the show this week. We also have Ivan.
I'm hot because I'm not allowed to have the fan or my window open.
We also have Phil in-house here at the Paladino residence.
I did hit level 60 in World of Warcraft yesterday. Time to start another character, probably a rogue.
What's World of Warcraft?
So, what are we talking about this week? We got our housekeeping section, we got our new Dream Station. We're going to be doing, what are we playing this week, a little different. We're going to do it every other week, because pretty much the same games every week. We have the Xbox Live demo impressions. E3 is dead.
Wait, is there a question mark at the end of, is E3 dead?
No, there's an exclamation point. A colon and a left parenthesis as well. Street Fighter on the Xbox Live Arcade, sort of a review there. We have news in brief. We have video game violence. Part 2 of our Aaron Greenberg interview. Our forum question and our mailbag.
Mailbag! Next topic.
The intro music this week was by our friend Todd Kelly. That's Big Law versus Final Fantasy. You can check out his website, toddkelly.net.
But I won't send you the link because it's from last week.
Keith got an Xbox. I think we hit on that. Keith, what games did you end up getting?
Chrome Hounds.
No, you bought stuff from Marketplace, too. What else did you get?
Zuma. Missy got Zuma. Wick. Street Fighter Uno. Geometry Wars. That's it. That's all of them.
Chrome Hounds, we're going to have some sort of online presence, so if you guys are digging Chrome Hounds, we'll have a post on the forum in the Xbox Live section that you can jump in and we can do some houndage of the Chrome variety.
I know we weren't going to mention this, but I wanted to say I played some Halo this week. There you go, haters.
You're no longer a disgruntled Robin.
We're going to try and get Fumo Jive. He's one of the Podtacular hosts onto the show soon here. The Redeema contest is still going on. It sounds like we got at least one virtual party in a box. We got some games. We got some miscellaneous stuffs. So there are actual prizes. So again, the contest is you take a movie, you take a game, you smush them together. If you want to do some cover art and stuff like that, you'll get some bonus points. Send the entries to videogameshow@dreamstation.cc and put contest in the subject line. Oh, I guess before we finish clearing up problems, there was a swear word that was let slip last week.
Whoopsie.
I didn't catch it. Parents, we apologize heartily. We are up for a podcast award. If you want to vote for us, you can do once per day, per IP, per email, or something like that. www.podcastawards.com.
Vote for us, because we keep forgetting to vote.
Because Lord knows we won't.
Next topic.
All right, so what's new at DreamStation.cc? We have some reviews of this week. We have Stacked for the Xbox. It's a poker game. We have Rogue Trooper for Xbox. That one's from Temple Dog, so we appreciate the user input there, Temple Dog. We have Rise of Legends for the PC. People have asked me several times, hey, can we send you reviews? And I said, absolutely, you can. Videogameshow@DreamStation.cc. Our first topic here is Xbox Live demo impressions. So there's been some demos going up on the Xbox Live. You can download demos for free. We have 99 Nights, Saints Row, and Dead Rising.
I played Dead Rising and Saints Row.
Let's go Saints Row since we both played it.
Crap. Next game.
It's Grand Theft Auto.
No, it's not. It's not even Grand Theft Auto.
Very gangster sandbox, lots of swearing. I thought it was okay.
It's rubbish.
99 Nights. 99 Nights is a horrible version of Dynasty Warriors. Basically, I smashed on the X button for, what, about an hour, Tom? I just hit X over and over and over and over, and then I eventually beat the game, and there was some cheesy cutscene with one of them dudes who looks like a chick that is, you know, notorious from all the Final Fantasy with the crazy armor and the chick, you know.
The only thing that's prettier than the women is the men.
Yeah.
That's a good tagline for that.
Bob's been in San Francisco for too long, I see.
And the thing everyone has been waiting for since the debut of hearing about it, zombie killing fun Dead Rising demo.
Dead Rising is sweet. No, Dead Rising actually reminds me of Dynasty Warriors. It's very fun, and everyone would love it right off the bat. Unless you're a zombie fan, I could see you getting sick of that game and not wanting to play it anymore down the road.
They give you a mission that you can't accomplish. If you try and leave the mall or go to different areas, it shows a little cutscene, and then it says, hey, you got to buy the full version of the game, which does come out this by the time this shows up. It'll be out. I say everything that Keith said is totally correct. I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, come on, you get to smash zombies. You go into the CD store, and you grab a CD, whip CDs at the zombies. It doesn't really do anything. They kind of go, oh, and back up a little bit. You can hit them with plastic swords from the toy store.
Squirt them with a squirt gun, put Lego heads on them.
I worry that it's going to get monotonous and boring, so we'll see how it goes. Full review will be coming.
Next topic.
E3 is dead. Ding dong. Reported a little bit last week in the show that E3 may or may not be dead. Well, it turns out it is, sort of. Basically, publishers are tired of paying so much money for the big giant E3 extravaganza. It was too much, too many people were there, too expensive to compete for media attention. Tom had a theory, though, that Sony was one of the companies, because you remember, the companies were like, hey, this is too much, we're going to start pulling out. He was saying, well, hey, maybe Sony is one of these companies that pulled out. The rumor going around is that EA is another one of these companies, and from my experience with them, they were very on this community day thing, so I think that they feel that that's a much better expenditure of their money. In addition to that, you could probably roll the costs right into the development of the game, so you can save money that way. The ESA said that it would have an E3 Expo, which is redundant since E3 stands for Electronic Entertainment Expo. Yeah, the E3 Expo.
So it's really just E4.
It's E4. It's a little more intimate. Doug Lowenstein, he's the ESA uppity-uppity president-type dude, said that it was not conducive to conducting business the way it was currently being run for the last 2 years. And again, this was like 60,000 people turning out, and even like the dude that does the register at Best Buy is considered media and industry according to the E3 guidelines of previous years. They want to take that money and do a smaller event. Now, I don't think they've worked out the exact details, but some of the signs are pointing to a venue in July instead of May. This is so that the publishers will actually have more time to prepare their games for the holiday season. You guys know in the past, they're rushing to get something out for E3, and it's a horrible demo, or they just pull a Sony and do some company to, hey, make a movie that looks like our gameplay will. So the attendance to this thing will be invite only, so they want it to be much more intimate. I'm okay with this. I don't know why we needed the E3, especially now with the internet, and we don't have to deal with all the giant lines and the thousands of sweaty fanboys sitting at E3 and clapping during press conferences, when it's really supposed to be the media covering what's coming in the upcoming holiday season and the upcoming year. We get our information directly from the company most of the time anymore, so especially shows like ours. They're giving free publicity to the companies when we have interviews with the developers or we post news about something. So it's more cost effective to target kind of grassroots the way that Microsoft is doing in their kind of grassroots PR campaign.
I'm surprised they didn't just redo the rules of E3, make them stricter so they just weren't letting so many people in rather than just redoing.
Well, see, I heard that this year did make it more strict. The problem is a lot of legitimate media guys didn't want to jump through all the hoops that they put out. But bloggers, you know, they got enough better to do, so they were willing to jump through all these hoops. It kind of backfired, so they kept a lot of legitimate media away, and then anyone with a 2-bit website can get in.
So do we think we need E3? I mean, in the internet age that we're at, where anybody can jump online and get random press coverage?
Do we need a conference where everyone gets to trot out their latest and greatest technology? Industry has such a conference.
I think what's going
to happen is instead of a large conference like this going away, something else like the Game Developers Conference that's up in San Francisco is going to rise to become the new big, you know, annual events for this industry.
I think they're moving in the right direction. I'm not disagreeing that E3 needed some serious overhaul because, I mean, come on, you're not supposed to even have little kids running around. There's little kids running around. You got booth babes that when you ask, hey, when is this game coming out? They go, duh, do you want a picture with me? Duh. You know, you're supposed to be for media. You're supposed to find out information about the games.
I just heard an interview with Todd Hollinshead, who's the CEO of id Software, and he even said that now that E3 has announced that it's going to be downsizing, they're going to take QuakeCon and kind of invite more studios to make it a larger conference. So something is going to step in and be
but
the
that
big.
Way you have a captive audience. You know that, hey, people are here for Quake. They already are kind of digging us. We can tailor and keep their attention directly on these products that we want to specifically market, rather than having to have a booth babe and a really loud stereo system and a giant LCD screen to get people's attention.
I mean, was E3 really filled with the people who work in the cash registers of electronic boutiques of the country? Was that really a problem? I don't know. I don't have attendee demographics in front of me.
Well, who said the big companies had to spend $15 million on displays anyway?
Nobody did. They did that on themselves. I agree with you. I mean, when you're EA and you have to show off all these titles, EA is probably competing with itself for media coverage because they have different divisions. So
there's going to have to be a unified conference somewhere, and Tom's probably right. It'll probably be the Game Developers Conference.
Although having said that, I think the death of E3 is way over exaggerated. I think come next year, you're going to have just as much attention when the new E3 rolls around next July. All the bloggers are going to be focused on it. Everyone's going to be scurrying for information that's coming out of there. And yeah, the big sites are going to be the ones covering it, and everyone is the blog echo effect where now everyone's just posting what IGN posts.
Next topic.
Street Fighter on the Xbox Live Arcade. Big, big success. Everybody was all in awe and waiting, and they were downloading in mass quantities. Street Fighter 2, Hyper Fighting. It was the fastest selling arcade title so far on Xbox Live Marketplace. So my thoughts, it's a steaming ripoff, and I'm mad that I paid $10 for it. It's really my own fault I fell victim to and helped promote the hype machine. Bought the game without downloading the demo, and I'm to blame, not really Capcom, but I can blame Capcom for the horrible matchmaking system. 90% of the games that I try and play online, if they're ranked, they time out and I can't connect to my opponents. There's still lag online. I know they were releasing the game later and later because we have to fix the lag. Well, you screwed up and you didn't fix it totally. Is it playable? Most of the time. I'm not sure why there's any lag at all after all the delays this thing had. The game itself is pretty bare. The menus are bare. There's no extras. There's not even... Remember that sound test thing in the SNES version that you could play the different punch noises and stuff? Don't even have that. I would have felt better if the title was $5, maybe $7.50, but at $10, I cannot recommend it. And I am a big, huge Street Fighter 2 fan, so spend slightly more and get one of the various compilations that you can get. They have the Xbox or the PS2 versions of, you know, the Street Fighter Anniversary Collection or 25th whatever compilation. Get those. Don't waste your money on the $10 thing.
Or just grab the ROM.
Yo ho ho! Keith, you played Street Fighter?
I'm with you. I was all pumped and excited and downloaded it right away. I didn't play the demo, and then just like, this sucks.
Just playing locally, sitting in the living room, yes, it's Street Fighter, and it's just as fun as you always known it to be. I didn't try to play it over live, so I don't know.
It's annoying to me that they pushed it back and they pushed it back, and yet we still have lag, we still have game drops, we still have clunky menu systems to get in. It's not horrible. I mean, I'm not super ticked off that they released it at all. It's just...
You know, if you love Street Fighter and you don't plan on playing it over live, you just want to play with your buddies in your neighborhood, then it's
I love how every one of our reviews goes, if you like this particular thing, you'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah, our reviews suck.
If you like mechs, Chrome Hounds is an excellent game.
If you like, hey, if your parents already dished out $400 for your Xbox 360 and another $50 for your gold membership, what the $10?
For local gameplay, a $5 purchase would have been much more suitable. I think the general consensus that I've seen on the web is that people aren't totally peeved, they're just far, far from happy. And with all the hype, maybe the hype is what helped kill this thing, but tons of people bought it, and tons of people are like, oh man, I wish it was any better than it was. They didn't revamp the graphics a la Frogger or anything like that.
Oh yes, Frogger.
the Frogger
graphics.
The
epitome of graphics.
Taking Frogger to HD, boy, man, that was been exciting. I have nothing else.
Next topic.
So news in brief. News in brief is where we talk about things that are not quite large enough for a full subject. Bully, the upcoming and highly controversial game from Rockstar where you're a bully at a local school. It's coming out. It's going to be a PS2 exclusive.
Does Rockstar know how to make any kind of other games other than controversial?
They made table tennis.
That reminds me of some old death metal show I used to listen to who refused to be labeled as a death metal show. So every time their little set came on, they'd play She Works Hard for the Money as one of the songs, so they could not be crushed into a genre. And that's exactly what Rockstar reminds me of. It's like all their games are the same except table tennis because they won't be boxed in. We will not be pigeonholed.
Well, you know what's funny is table tennis to me almost seems like a tech demo for the new Grand Theft Auto engine because they said they were going to be using the same engine. So like, oh, we need to prove if this actually works. What's something we can bust out in a weekend? I don't know, ping pong? All right, let's give that a try.
Probably right.
I don't know. We play a lot of ping pong in the break room while we're talking about this. We could probably throw something together.
But the funny thing is, it's not a bad game. It's got over 80%, I believe, on game rankings.
And you know what? It would probably be even better if it wasn't from Rockstar. If it was from some other company, it'd be like, hey, this is a pretty good game. But no, it's Rockstar. So they're like, yeah, this is a pretty good game, but I can't smack hookers in the face, so I'm not going to play it.
Point with this whole thing is that people are getting concerned that while Sony and Nintendo are still releasing games for their PS2 and GameCube, I'm not so sure about that GameCube thing other than Zelda, but they're concerned that the Xbox game releases are being crushed in order to support the 360. Midway had the loudest voice about this one. They say it would be very difficult to sell Xbox games after the holiday season, and
so?
That's pretty much right, exactly.
Who gives a crap?
There's a couple hundred games out there already. I think we can stop and move on to the next generation. All right, hey, AOL is becoming free. Did you guys hear about this one? Pretty sweet.
Nobody cares.
Tons of people are leaving AOL.
I wonder why.
I think people just don't know any better.
So AOL is basically, you can get crap for free now on your computer that will never come off.
Yeah, don't ever install AOL. So tons of people are leaving their online service. I think that even as a free service, it's going to fail.
What service did they provide?
Are they providing exactly?
AOL Instant Messenger and Netscape Web Browser 2.0, even though it's on Windows XP, and you've got mail. That guy.
That guy. That's all they got.
They got that guy.
Didn't they have the new and improved features like spam filters and health checks for your PCs?
Yes, more crap to install on your PC, so it's like, you've got spyware. Know how I know? Because this product is installed on your machine.
And runs without your consent. Gee whiz.
All right, Richard Trevorsham, he's a bigwig marketing dude over at the Xbox division. He said that the fourth quarter of this year will show many new strategies for the Xbox, such as having a variety of prices on games and consoles. So if you guys remember back, Microsoft vehemently denied that there was going to be a price drop. There was, however, no comment on the rumored bundle of the console. This was the bundle that would give you Project Gotham Racing and like 1,250 marketplace points, all for the same $400 that the current premium bundle would give you. Other possible bundles could be a HD DVD bundle, maybe. The rumors are going to say that on the 9th of August, this will come out in the stores, so I guess we'll find out here very soon by the time the show comes out. Computer Gaming World, the magazine, will be relaunched as Games for Windows, the official magazine.
Solitaire! Spider Solitaire!
No. Talking PC games in general, dude. This is going to be the official magazine. Michael Wolf of the Gamerscore blog, who we are going to have the pleasure of having on the show later in this week, said he's pumped because it shows Microsoft is going to put serious effort into the PC gaming platform.
Well, I mean, so they're rebranding the magazine. Computer Gaming World is closing. They're just coming out and saying...
It's okay. Coming out as if they're getting Microsoft's official stamp of thumbs up.
Okay. No, what they're getting from Microsoft is a big fat check.
They deny that.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
Here's an extra $400 million to say we didn't give you the first $200 million.
I'm for anything that's going to promote gaming on Windows, because I don't like seeing that the selection of PC gaming is dwindling and being pushed over to the periodical section away from where all the other gaming lives in the retail stores.
It's from people like Bob downloading every game that comes out.
You know what? That's not true, though, because I don't download games.
No, that is true, though. We do buy our games.
I haven't looked at this, but there was an emulation layer for Linux, and they had some success because it was a branch of the Wine Project, which is the emulator, the Windows emulator for Linux.
You've lost all our listeners again, Tom.
It got really boring really quickly.
Basically, what my concern is in emulating... Lastly, our PlayStation 3 news. To use PlayStation 1 and 2 memory cards on your PlayStation 3, you'll have to buy a Sony adapter.
That you will use once and then throw away.
When you're like, oh god, this only holds a quarter of the information for one save.
You gotta copy that info onto your hard drive. Now, I will say in Sony's defense, it's kinda cool. They are very big on the backwards compatibility thing, which to each his own. But if they're gonna do that, and they're allowing their PS1 and PS2 memory cards. So if you play Gran Turismo 2 for 18 hours and 18 years straight or whatever it's been, this will allow you to take over your 14 cars and use them on the PS3 version of Gran Turismo 2, which no one will ever play.
Why not keep the PS2?
God, alright, that was news in brief. We're done with that.
Next topic.
Alright, so video game violence. So in Florida this past week, on Wednesday, somebody died over a video game. Sort of. They didn't die. Two brothers, ages 19 and 20, got mad at their cousin, age 23, when said cousin won at whatever video game that they were playing. So, what's the normal human reaction?
Kill him!
pull out a gun and start shooting. Dude didn't even hit the cousin. I mean, you're not more than, what, 20 feet away? And that's pretty much a problem. I think you need to work on your aim there, brother. The mother of these two brothers was the one that turned the kids in. She said it wasn't actually a real gun. It was a paintball gun. And that they weren't trying to kill the cousin, just scare him. That'll show you to beat me in Madden, you punk. Now, the mother said, oh, that wasn't a real gun. That was a paintball gun. So when the cops searched the scene of the crime, what did they find? 9mm shells all around the room.
No kidding. Nice.
And she's like, oh, those are from target practice, because we live near the woods, and we shoot out of our bedroom into the woods at deer
really
and stuff. I pretty much think the whole family should be thrown in jail, just keep the crazies off the streets, and more importantly, we have enough bad rap with video games and video gamers without the Manson family rejects shooting each other when they're losing at the games of Halo in the living room.
They live by the park, and everybody knows if you live by the park, you're in peril of danger.
I'm all for executing anybody who hits the age of 19 and 20 that still gets pissed off when they lose at a video game. Off enough to pull a gun on somebody.
There's your key point, yeah.
What if it's a light gun?
What happened was the brother pulled out the gun and he shot three times at the cousin, and then the little dog came up and went...
started giggling at him, pointing.
I'm shaking my head back and forth at you.
So that wasn't a video game death, because dude didn't die.
It was pretty close, though. I was going to say, that's not a video game death due to incompetence, so...
Next topic.
So we're going to have part two of our interview with Aaron Greenberg. He is a Xbox Live community manager. Assuming the game has a sponsor base, if that sponsor, let's say, does pull out, and we're going to charge, let's just say, $5 or $10 to play poker online, you guys have that infrastructure to support ads. Is it out of the question to have a paid game that also has ads in it, or are you guys going to make a line in the sand and say, no, if you guys are paying for it, we're not going to give you ads?
In regards to poker specifically, I would say that there's not going to be, if it's a fully sponsored game, you know, where a sponsor is paying for the development of the game, that in that case, the title would not be charged for. Now, there are today games that exist at retail that have dynamic in-game ads. That's up to publishers. They're their games, you know, so they decide how they want to do that. For them, it's, you know, an opportunity. I think for the most part, people are very sensitive to the fact that impact the game experience, and if you are putting ads in games, it has to be done in a way that's relevant. And so if it's like you're walking down street in New York and you turn down an alley and there's a billboard, kind of like you would expect, and there's like a Coke billboard or what have you, that seems kind of natural there, that's great. But, you know, if you're in the middle of some platform scrolling game and all of a sudden like a Subway shop pops up and they're asking you what you want on your sandwich, like that gets a little weird.
I'm also very against ads at the, like, when you go to the movies and you now got to watch a half hour of movies before you can watch the movie of advertising.
Play Battlefield 2 yet, Aaron?
I have not.
For Battle for Middle Earth, I'm sorry?
I have not played it yet.
Where you have to watch 10 minutes of video before you can even play the game.
It's literally a minute of video before you get into, and you can't skip it with start or anything. So.
That's frustrating. I hear you on that.
I think one thing that you did mention that I do want to make clear to the listeners is that it's not up to Microsoft to put those ads in or not in the game. It's up to the publishers themselves. You guys are going to take a lot of hatred about, oh, greedy Microsoft and this and that. So I just wanted to offer up that it is, in fact, the publisher's goal to either have them or not have them in any game.
Yeah, that is correct. And, you know, the things where you've seen platform stuff work, what we've done is, yeah, we did a free weekend of Xbox Live Gold, and Verizon was a sponsor of that, and we gave away 1 million points, and we let everyone get gold access for a weekend, and we thought, hey, that's a pretty good value, right? Anybody that hasn't tried gold gets a chance to try gold, and there's a sponsor involved, or we did some things where there was free promotional gamer picks or gamer themes and stuff like that, where, you know, people kind of get, there's a value exchange, you know, with our consumers in a way that makes sense. But the game-specific stuff is driven by the publishers and see all the ads, and we're not trying to create that environment in the gaming experience, and Live is not about that today. It's, you know, for the most part what you're seeing is game related stuff, and so it's not a, you know, we are not an ad based service.
Was there ever an idea when Live was coming out in its inception that maybe there could be a lower price or a free version with ads sponsored? I thought I read some couple places online that potentially there may be either in the future or it was at least talked about.
Yeah, I mean, people have always talked to us about that, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, we always look at, you know, what are all the different options, if thing ways to run the business. And, you know, the approach that we've taken is that, you know, we really want it, for us, it's part of it is about the customer and the community. And so letting people get connected to that community and being able to, you know, message their friends and kind of, you know, join that community and be able to interact with people online and get access to all, full access to Marketplace. You know, some people are like, well, should Marketplace be limited if you're silver or gold or whatever? And, you know, so it's like, hey, we realize that there's a gamer out there that maybe isn't into multiplayer gaming, but wants to add on levels or new content, or maybe wants to just download arcade games. And so, you know, having that as kind of an a la carte menu option for them versus people that want the gold multiplayer experience is the route that we've taken for now. And advertising hasn't played a major role in that.
One of the questions that we had brought up, talking amongst ourselves, you guys are selling all kinds of virtual goods. And there was talk, I know we asked Peter Moore when I was out there for Battle for Middle Earth. I talked to you a little bit. We had asked Peter Moore about, you know, the whole Velocity Girl thing. Now, is there any push towards selling real goods as opposed to virtual goods, like hats and T-shirts? I mean, Street Fighter has jackets and hats. Has there been any talk about selling somebody's real goods online, or is that just too much of a pain, or nobody's even thought about it yet?
Yeah, there's people. I mean, you would be amazed at all the different people that are thinking about all the... everything that you've probably thought of, and then some things would be like, who the hell would ever do that? I mean, we've got, you know, there is a massive think tank of people over here thinking of things just like that. It's something we've thought about, we're looking at, but for now, you know, I think those things, they sound easy to you and I, they're a lot more complicated. And the other thing we think about is like, hey, you know, we're a service globally in 24 countries, and so we don't want to add anything to live that you can't do everywhere around the world. So, you know, we've got to be able to have, even if, let's just say you just want to sell a T-shirt. Well, is that T-shirt localized and, you know, and probably, you know, I think we support something like 16 languages or more or less. And is there a vendor in, you know, in Sweden that can fulfill that, you know? So it's just a lot of complexities that that make some of that stuff a little bit harder to do and take more time.
This one just popped into my head when you mentioned the localized content. For example, the Chrome Hounds demo, I don't think that's been released in the U.S. yet. Now, you can get it through the secret little hack thing to get the Japanese or whatever region that it was available on. Was there a reason to say don't launch the Chrome Hounds demo in the States, but do it over in the U.K. or Japan?
It's totally up to the publishers. So, you know, the publishers submit their demos to us, and they have a submission form that they fill out, and as part of that, they tell us what regions to make it available in. And sometimes it's about intellectual property rights, and sometimes it's about localization, and, you know, I don't know what all their thinking is, but from our perspective, we always encourage them to make everything available globally, but sometimes, you know, there are exceptions where that's not always the case.
Since we're talking about possible new functionality, is there any chance that Windows Media Center functionality will find its way into the live service? So now I'm using my 360 as kind of a TiVo.
The Media Center connectivity experience that you have, you know, through the Media Center today, that is going to be enhanced and will get better with the launch of Windows Vista. I know that.
Yeah, but except so, now I would need to have a whole separate box that's running Windows Media Center. I just want to put my 360 right up to my TV. And now
you want the media, right? So today, Xbox 360 yes serves as an extender or a client for your media center, whereas you're talking about us. I mean, we're not trying to be a PC. So, I mean, I think, you know, that's at the core, we're trying to differentiate.
That one's for Sony, right?
Right. I'm not sure. Actually, I don't think they're a PC or a console. I'm not sure. They're sort of a box that does a lot of stuff that's really expensive. So I'll be good. So,
okay, so are you saying no plans for multimedia functionality that is separate from having a Windows Media Center box on 360?
I'm saying right now we're not turning our console into a TiVo. I mean, I think that, you know, those DVRs are pretty prevalent in people's living rooms, and people have, you know, that content stored, and either they have access to it plugged in their TV, or they have a media center PC in another room, or what have you. We want you to be able to access all your media content from your PC, you know, through your Xbox 360, and, you know, music and photos and your recorded and high def video content, and we have ways for you to do that. But we don't want to be, it's just the whole thing around where do you want to archive your stuff and edit it, and how do you want to organize it. And we think the PC is a much better platform to do all that kind of stuff on, and that's kind of been our focus, you know. And we just sort of, you know, put a stake in the ground and say, here's what we're going to do, here's what we're not going to do, and then we kind of set priorities off of that. And I hear you where there may be some scenarios for some people where that there would be some benefits to doing that. Right now, that's kind of not where our minds are at.
I know one of the things that Windows Media Center gives you is the ability to stream your video. Is there at some point maybe, all right, well, let's just give them the video streaming feature? I'm not saying go berserk. Is there any potential for that happening? Or no, we're going to keep that as a Media Center functionality, and it kind of helps drive the sales of Media Center if you're that hardcore and you want to do that?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things we've gotten feedback from the community on. It's on the list. The team's looking at it. So that one I would definitely say is possible, but timing.
But it's not an outright no, which is
there you go.
Really what I was thinking that you were going to say, so that's good.
I'm not saying no.
Have you guys been approached by like content networks in terms of we're going to sell Lost on Xbox Live like they do over iTunes?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of that stuff, and you've seen some of it start today with Marketplace, where it's like, you know, movie trailers or short-form entertainment that makes sense, where you want to experiencing that in high def in your living room, you know, on your TV with your great sound and all that. It's kind of the optimal experience for that versus being huddled around a PC. So we're going to continue to grow the entertainment offerings on Marketplace, and that stuff's been really popular. So I would say, you know, we'll continue to expand there for sure.
There's nothing wrong with being huddled around a PC. I'm that way 16 hours a day, you know.
I just want to thank you for your time, Aaron. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate everything that you guys over at Microsoft do. Keep them coming. We have a whole another holiday season coming up that I'm sure you guys are going to be busting your butt to get done. So congrats.
Thanks a lot, and we're big fans of the podcast, and we'll continue to listen in, and thanks to all your listeners for their support as well.
Next topic.
We have our forum question every week. We have a forum question that you guys can contribute to as listeners by going to our website, dreamstation.cc. Go to the general forums on the left-hand side there on the main page, and you can jump in and do our current poll. The current poll topic...
How much trust do you have in game reviews and media coverage from mainstream media? Choices this week were no trust at all, very little trust, quite a bit of trust, and total trust. I'm going to get all techie and say, look at like a very nice Gaussian towards the middle range. We have 40% with quite a bit of trust, 37.5% with very little trust. One person had total trust. Other 20% had no trust at all.
So it seems like varied.
Yeah, there was very, there's a lot of, the phrase grain of salt came up 500 times as I was reading through these. Gotta take reviews with a grain of salt. But I liked Omega's post because he got right to it. Do you trust mainstream media reviews? Oh, no. I never trust any kind of mainstream media for anything. Much less on how I'm going to spend my hard-earned money on a game. Usually I will just rent said game before I plan on shelling out the cash for it, unless it's a niche title that I know I have to own.
Like Chromehounds.
Do not know how to pronounce this. I-T-A-T-T-O-N. Itatin says, to be honest, I trust them a lot more than user reviews. I always hate seeing a mass media rating as 6 and then the user review rating of 10. I kind of agree with this. It's too common that users' rating system will be polluted with diehard fans who think their game is perfection. I like this. My guideline is always how the most recent Madden game is rated. If massmediareviews.com gives this year's roster update a 9.6 for being highly innovative, I'll immediately lose all trust in them. I like what Birdo said. Really, the way I read reviews, and really the only way reviews should be read, is that I always look at all the negative things that are said about a game. That's when you really get a good look at who the reviewer really is. If they use lots of colorful language and give the game more flack than is warranted, then you know that that person's dislike for the game goes beyond the objectivity of the review and is more deep-rooted and personal. But if they just tell you in black and white what's wrong with the game and the reasons are not emotionally driven either against the company that made it or the actual material in the game, then I trust them a little more.
So there's no way to win with Birdo, is there?
Yeah, apparently not.
I included 30-foot screw because I liked his forum name. I don't really trust magazines. The UK OXM used to be okay until I saw them give The Outfit 8 out of 10 and when it's clearly a steaming pile. Edge tend to be quite political sometimes and also like to make a point to be different. The game was developed by a team of guys who are only allowed to wear orange trousers and made to only talk in haikus, then they'll give it a 10 out of 10 for being different, even if it's crap. I mainly tend to let play demos, listen to the community, and use consensus-driven sites like Gamer Rankings. Besides, if a game's rubbish, I'll take it back. I do give a fair amount of credence to the guys at Eurogamer.net. That's all I have. Everybody else pretty much said the exact same thing.
Well done, Bob. So we're going to have the forum go for 2 weeks. The next question, unless anybody says otherwise, with all the demos on the Xbox Live Marketplace, and, you know, people are thinking that the PlayStation 3 and the Wii will follow suit, will all these demos hurt the video game rental service? Yes or no? That one's from Redeema.
That's actually a very good question.
Might I suggest maybe even having people call in to the phone number and leaving their thoughts for the forum questions?
That's not a bad idea. And I have to apologize a little bit because we switched our mail servers over, so I'm sure I missed one or two of the mails.
Next topic.
All right, so it's time once again, guys, for our mailbag.
Mailbag!
We have some audio clips. We have an audio from Roof Jackson. Crazy Roof Jackson. Even though it didn't really make much sense. If you're going to call in, at least be, what's the word I'm looking for?
Audible. Clear.
We also have audio from Mr. Carpal Tunnel from XBLRadio.com. I actually am going to be on a roundtable discussion about the podcast awards on Tuesday.
Hi, Chris. This is Mr. Carpal Tunnel from the XBL Radio podcast. Just wanted to say I got done listening to your version 64 and enjoyed it thoroughly. And also I wanted to touch note and say thanks a lot for the conversation we had the other day off air. It was very insightful, and I can tell that your podcast is one of the podcasts I'll be keeping on my iTunes playlist. Good luck at the video game or podcast awards. I hope you do well, and thanks a lot again. again for talking to me. Hope to hear from you soon. Take it easy.
We had a review of Dragon Quest, and I believe Cheesy Monkey Sandwich sent that one in, I think. The reason I don't know is because I lost it, so if you'd be so kind as to send it in. They sent it in to me in a weird format, and I was going to translate it over, and I think I lost that one. Rothbart wrote a very, very long email. He knew it was very long, and he summarized it thusly. I realize this email is too large to read in its entirety on the podcast, but I'd love to hear you guys discuss with more thought than this on the PS3 being too expensive, Kutaragi being loony, Blu-ray being doomed, and the PS3 copied, insert company or product here, etc. Keep in mind that a lot of times in history, innovation is initially met with skepticism. Seems ironic to reference innovation when referring to Sony, given the last couple months of thrashing in the media, but it remains to be seen. Serious discussions to the Sony forum on dreamstation.cc. Do we have much to say as far as, the PlayStation? He sent this email a very long time ago, and I'm just getting to it now.
I was going to say, we've talked about all that to death.
So it's not Rothbart's fault at all. It's really my fault for, there's a large plethora of reasons, but we've kind of beat this one to death. You've set the expectations of a $600 console and a Blu-ray as the driving force, and there really aren't a whole lot of super sweet exclusive games. You've been shown as a sham for your E3 showing a couple years back when all you had was pre-rendered footage.
Your PlayStation Portable is slowly dying.
But when Ivan sells his PlayStation Portable, it's time that the PlayStation Portable is dying.
That's true.
Hi guys, this is Chris, aka Kanji Rush on the forums from Bristol in England. Just thought you might appreciate a message from your UK contingent. I love the podcast. Great to hear people talking about video games that actually know what they're talking about. It's a bit of a shortage of that in the UK media. Also got a question for you all. Was wondering what you thought the future of the PSP was. Whether you thought Sony were going to be bringing out another iteration of it, and what might be in that iteration, or if not, what would be in that iteration for you that would make it worth buying and would make it better than the current PSP. Keep up the good work. Look forward to listening to some more podcasts in the future. Particularly enjoying the Easter eggs at the moment. Okay, thanks. Bye.
He had a kick-arse accent.
Yeah, it was awesome.
He's gonna make the show sound all classy.
Well, since two of us only bought them the first time around, and both of us sold ours.
I think that there will be another iteration. I mean, aside from the white one, they'll probably do something like beef up the memory, maybe some sort of internal hard drive, maybe pump the battery life up.
Dual analog sticks.
I don't think that they're going to get that crazy, because all this other stuff's relatively easy design-wise. They don't have to change a lot. I agree with you, Bob, that dual analog sticks and a couple extra games would be something that would make us buy it. Do you feel...
PS2, for the same reason that Aaron Greenberg, in the interview we did with him, said there's always going to be another Xbox, is because they have enough money where they can learn from their mistakes. They could put out a generation of a handheld that's a failure and say, okay, why was this a failure, and what can we do during the next generation of the handheld to correct these problems?
It was a big letdown because it had so much potential. It really did look good. It was the best-looking handheld. All they had to do was, honestly, stop being about it.
My point was that it was cool that it did all of the things that it did, but it plays MP3s. Yeah, you can watch movies on it. You can browse the internet. You can do all this other stuff.
Well,
but
the thing was, you really couldn't after they got done with it with all the firmware updates and everything. That was one of the biggest downfalls. You have this great piece of hardware, this great piece of portable hardware. They would have done themselves a lot of good to just let people use it. And it's your thing. Use it however you see fit, and don't be such control freaks about it.
And I hope if there is going to be another generation, the PSPs, they concentrate a lot more on their library titles. I think that's what sets a DS apart, not because the touchscreen is a really cool piece of hardware. The titles are very fun.
So hopefully we answered the question there that was posed to us from Bristol, UK.
Yeah, the answer is I don't think it looks good for the PSP.
Keep coming. Keep the emails coming. Keep the audio coming. The email is videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. The phone number is 206-984-GAME. That's 206-984-4263.
Next topic.
That was pretty much the show. That was show 65. You can check out our website, dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, and our downloadable show archive. Email, we just talked about videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. We just mentioned the phone number. Spread the word to family, friends, gaming stores, etc. Feel free to contact us. We hope
that
to
show 66, dude.
Yeah, it's 66.
Okay, show 66. I apologize. Same time next week. All right, does anyone have anything else worth discussing here on the final closing segments of our show?
Not at all.
PodcastAwards.com if you want to vote for us, and we appreciate all the support and listenership. And I want to thank all you guys for being around here on Sunday night to do this thing. And I hope that you all come back and all the listeners come back next week when we put the next show up, show 67. All right, peace out.
Bye.
All right, Ivan, let me check your volume level. Go ahead and say something for me.
Go f*** yourself.
And your snake agrees with hissing.
What?
Yes,
can
I
you
agree.
Hear that now?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it does sound like a snake.
It sounds like you have a broken inner tube, and it's releasing all its air very slowly.
Some kind of bug outside.
Dude, it's gone.
Yeah, because I closed the window.
Dragon floating around outside.
It's like a swarm of locusts hovering outside the window. Sounds ready for this new show.